Hi. Good to see you all. Let's start with a word of prayer. I appreciate Jay's prayers this morning. We have a lot to pray for, a lot to be happy for. We will be doing a building program here this fall. Regardless of how the circumstances look now, they will funnel us into an expansion program of some kind, which will be great. And we have help coming in August. That's why I say this fall. And so it'll work out great. We've got people in the church sharing blessings and people in the church sharing burdens. And that's what it's all about. We talked about that in Sunday school prayer. And we will talk about the Bible in the next Sunday school class we have, the adult Sunday school class. But it's always exciting to have people in church and people to pray for. Be thankful you have people to pray for. Prayer helps. It helps us keep our minds off our problems, as well as helps us overcome our problems by other people's prayer. Intercessory prayer is what they call it. I'm still in Sunday school class. I'm going to jump into the program in Mark. Mark chapter 11, and we'll go to prayer when I get there. When all you get there over to Mark chapter, I said 11, but we're going to look at 10, the last couple of verses of 10. 46 through 52 of Mark chapter 10, and it proceeds and goes right into the entry into Jerusalem. And why I was thinking of the entry into Jerusalem by Jesus Christ, this traditionally portion of Scripture takes place about the time Jesus, the Sunday before Jesus was crucified. And this particular passage, 46 through 52, takes place somewhere just before that, maybe a week or two before that. It could be months, but it probably is just before that. Let's open with a word of prayer, though. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to look into your word. Give us clarity of thought now, all of us, as we look and put aside the trials and the cumbersome duties of this week and the things to come in the next, Lord. We just ask that you speak to us now through your word and through your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples, being Jesus Christ and his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartholomew, his son Timaeus, that's as good as I'm going to get. Yeah, I shouldn't mess up too many more names because there aren't many more names in here. Sat by the highway side begging. This is your first wayside you'll find in Scripture here. Right by the highway, he sat by it at the wayside begging. Okay. And he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. He began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." We're in chapter 10, verse 46 right now. And he charged him, okay, and he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. He began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me." This is the second time he recognizes Jesus Christ as the son of David, as the second time he realizes Jesus Christ is actually a descendant of David and therefore is probably the Messiah. Twice he does that. Jesus is addressed as the son of David only 8 times in Scripture, and the ninth time you see "thou son of David," it was addressed when the angel come to Joseph, Jesus' father, Jesus' earthly father, and stepfather. We'll be more even concise than that. And he's addressed by the angel Gabriel as "thou son of David." All that put into place because in the Old Testament they look forward to Christ's crucifixion on the tree, and we look back to that. All right, there's another example of that found in Scripture today. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. That would be the gentleman Bartholomew. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort. Raise. He calleth thee. Rise. He calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? It was Jesus in red there. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he receiveth his sight and followed Jesus in the way. There's a whole movement now called the way. It started in the early 60s by a bunch of hippies, more or less. But they loved Jesus, they were saved, and they called it the way. There's a whole churches now named the way, and fellowships and such not. And because this man rose up and followed Christ. What can we gain from this portion of Scripture? And they came to Jericho and went out of Jericho. The first thing we can realize in verse 46, and they came to Jericho and went to Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, sat by the highway side begging. He realized he had a need. He realized he had a need. Just as each one of us have a need here this morning. Every one of us have a needs. Our prayer, our time of prayer here in the Sunday school and here in the service and on Wednesday nights, we bring our needs to God. Each one of our needs vary from personal, very personal needs to general needs. And Bartimaeus realized he had a need. He had a need. Then in the next verse we see in 47, and when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, there's another cue to him understanding that the Savior has finally come to the planet, the Messiah, he began to cry out. He prayed. He realized as he was begging, he had a need. Then he prayed. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. He realized that he wasn't worthy of what he was asking, but he needed Christ's recognition, the Savior's deliverance, the Savior's acceptance, the Savior's blessing upon him. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. More affirmed, more affirmation. First he prayed, then he persisted, then he resisted. He prayed, he persisted, then he resisted. What did he resist? The temptations that befall each and every one of us each day to hold back Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, to hold back him as our rescuer, to hold back him as our Redeemer, to hold back him as our trust and our leadership. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried more, a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Three times, I believe, we looked at it. Call, call, call there. Jesus Christ has called every one of us to him. When he died on the cross, it said, For God so loved the world. How more inclusive can you be than that? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have ever... Well, I'm going from one verse to another. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 3:16. Somebody said that. That's great. God calls us. Now, there's brothers and sisters in this room, perhaps, that believe you're called before you're saved. So what? That's a great thought. Jesus Christ knows us when we're conceived in the womb, and we're called. He is sovereign. He can do anything he wants. He knows your life. It's your duty, as this man here's duty was, to fall in line with what God has planned for you. What do you get if you're saved? If that plan is salvation, and it is for everyone to be saved. But if you fall in line, if you fail to fall in line with the rest of it, it's not God that suffers the consequences, it's you. you're called, as this blind man was, to do something for God, to accomplish something for God, to be something for God. Maybe it's to be a good housewife. Maybe it's to be a good husband. It doesn't have to be anything dynamic, but God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And as we surrender to that purpose, He can truly bless us and help us and advance us and fellowship with us and all kinds of things. We'll see that this man had to travel to God by faith. And Jesus stood still and commanded him and called. Okay, we went through that. Verse 50, and he casteth away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And that word garment is thrown around quite a bit. My wife actually read this to me about 3 o'clock this morning and wanted to know if he was naked or not. I said some translations have him naked. But he didn't throw away. That word garment is outer robe. It could be clothing, I am tongue-tied this morning. It's being plural. There we go. Got it right. And he chasing away his casteth away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. He did 3 things. He cast away his garment. Now, what would our garments be? Those things that slow us down, those things that beset us, those things that hinder our performance. Would in this case, it hindered his travel. He's blind. He probably wore a garment that he could cover himself up with at night and sleep right there by the wayside. He got rid of that thing quickly. Just like when God calls us, He wants us to get rid of the hindrances in our lives that keep us from serving Him. Now, we have certain obligations, yes, but we all wear garments. I guess in the new form of the world, they call it baggage. And I'd like to just call it sin. Those things that aren't necessary that hinder our service for God. Those things that aren't necessary that get in the way of our path for God. Those things that aren't necessary that hinder our relationship with God. Now, most anything like that would be sin. Now, I'm not saying if you like to play baseball or if you like to go fishing or if you have those, if they hinder your relationship with God, they become sin, but they're not sin in themselves. And there's nothing wrong with a coat if that's not what you're living for. So, that's what he had to do. He came to a position of where he resisted, he responded, he respected, and he accepted. Jesus answered and said, "Thou unto him, wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" He said, "What do you want?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he receiveth his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I see the word sight, faith, and sight. Do you see them there? The last word in verse 51, the middle word in 52, and the last thought in 52. Again, it's represented. I'm thinking of the verse 5:7 of Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 7. We travel by faith and not by sight. He accepted Christ, and he had to step out in faith, strip himself of his worldly possessions that hindered his relationship with Christ, and Christ was allowed to then give him the reward for his faith, completeness of his being, and redeemed him both spiritually and physically. What are you praying for in your life? What are you asking God for in your life? What does He want you to discard and step forward and accomplish for Him? That's kind of a pressing message. But you know, we all have needs. We all have hindrances. We all have responsibilities. Now, he was free of his responsibilities. His biggest responsibility was just taking care of himself to survive. God doesn't interfere with those. In fact, he enhances those if you submit yourself to him. I'm thinking of many different men that I've sat across the table from, and they says, oh, I'd love to serve God, but I can't. I got to make a living. Well, you know, if you were serving God, God would give you a living. Now, you can say that, I can say that probably and ask that rhetorically, but in reality, a lot of us have already made some commitments that hinder our service to God, but he can still use you. He can still bless you. He can help you. We have people all over this planet, all over this island, in fact, that feel they're chained to their past sins and feel their responsibilities outweigh the things that God can accomplish in their life. And that's not true. He took a blind man and gave him sight. He gave that blind man an opportunity to not only overcome his burdens and his handicaps and his shortcomings, but he also helped that blind man to accomplish what God wanted to accomplish. Did you see the very last thing? And follow Jesus in the way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What's stopping you from serving Jesus? What's stopping you from making commitments to the Lord? What's stopping your prayers from getting answered? Go to God, and he will give you the ability to overcome those problems. He can make those responsibilities blessings if you turn your life over to him. If you start giving God the preeminence in your life, and immediately received his sight. That word immediately is there. The gentleman called, he acted, he followed, and God gave. What a wonderful thing. God calls, he gives, and he guides. We got all kinds of things we can throw out of this portion of Scripture. What applies to you today? I'm not trying to cast stones. I'm just trying to remind you that no matter how much responsibility you have and how many shortcomings you might feel you have and what you can accomplish or what you feel you can't accomplish and what you for God can all be set aside as you surrender those things to God. Man run forward, trust in Jesus, didn't know the first thing about what God would have him to do. God wants you to serve him out of gratitude. And this man had much to serve God for. Think, you know, what your responsibilities are. What has God given you in life? What has God given you? Don't let your shortcomings or the things God's given you hinder your relationship with him. That's a simple example we can find in blind Bartholomew's. I can't say it correctly today, but it's a wonderful thing. I'll read 1 Corinthians 5:7 as Mrs. Anania comes up to play the piano. You can all stand. 1 Corinthians 5:7. What are you going to play, Mama? For what? And I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 4:7. It's 5:7. Play through it. I'll read it. Okay, preparation wasn't there. We travel by faith and not by sight. There you go. Thank you. Second Corinthians. Like I said, I got this message. I have a whole different message. I'm going to bump it to tonight that I've worked on all week. This one I've worked on since about 2:30 this morning. So, 2 Corinthians, could you read it for us? That's what you get when you volunteer. But thank you for your help, brother. Here, I'll read it then if I got the... There you go. Yes, amen, that's what it says. And sometimes we let... that's the heart of the message. What do you have that hinders you from walking by faith? You look around and you say, well, I can't accomplish this. I can't. I got to do this and I got to do that. I can't do this for God. I can't do that for God. I don't have time. I got response. What? God will help you. He took this blind man and used him. 2 Corinthians 5:7, and it's in yellow here. For we walk, I put it in yellow because I marked it when I was a kid. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whatsoever present or abasement we may be accepted of Him. All right. Would you pray? What are you going to pray? Play. Amen. Thank you, brother. Will you close us in a word of prayer now?
Amen. And all God's